You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
Mr. Speaker!
Mr. Speaker, can I have
this is State News and Views with State Senator Charlita Tavares. State news and views that our people can use inside the legislature, going from Main Street to the State House. You will hear it first right here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. This is State Senator Charlita Tavares, and we are on State News and Views on TalkTainment Radio. Radio.com, the way it should be heard. And I am going to have several guests tonight who will be calling in. We expect to have Ray Miller, the publisher of the Columbus African American, to join us shortly. And then we will have Matt Howes, who is the finance director for the Senate Democratic Caucus, and Claire Likert, who is a policy analyst with the Senate Democratic Caucus, as well as one of our regulars, Senator Nina Turner out of Cleveland, who will be joining us a little later in the show. I don't know whether Ray Miller is with us yet, but one of the things that we do want to talk about is issues around small and minority businesses. That's one of the issues I want to talk about with Ray Miller, who is a publisher of the Columbus African American News Journal, to talk about what's going on in Columbus. We have Black Enterprise Magazine, and we had the South Central Minority Development Suppliers Council that had their big opportunity fair on yesterday. And so we had lots of minority businesses from around the state. So I want to talk to him about that. We're going to talk to Matt Howes and Claire Likert, as well as Senator Turner, about the state budget process and what's happening right now in the Ohio Senate, what's happened in the House, and where we think we can make some changes. So I want to make sure that we have all of those issues that we can talk about. And I think we have Ray Miller on the phone. Claire Likert and Matt Howes, are you there?
We are, yes, Senator.
Hello, Senator.
Hi there. Well, thank you both for joining me. And I must give kudos to these two young people. Having started as a staff person in the Ohio House of Representatives and served as the chief finance staff person for the House Human Resources Subcommittee of Finance, I know what you two are going through. So I appreciate everything that you all are doing. You have to work fast and furious. You have to stay on top of all the issues. So thank you for joining us on Talktainment Radio. First of all, I just want to get an overview of what's happening right now. I know, Claire, that the Senate Education Subcommittee of Finance is, in fact, I think they held hearings this afternoon. Can you tell us some of the issues that our Democratic caucus is most concerned about?
Sure, Senator. Yeah, we did indeed just wrap up the Senate Finance Education Subcommittee hearings today. We have been meeting for, I think, about 4 weeks now. We've heard, you know, witnesses from all across the spectrum of education, higher education, K through 12, really hitting on, you know, I think mainly some of the fundamental funding issues. I think there's, you know, across all sectors, whether it's, you know, private education, public education, you know, a cry for, you know, help and increased funding. And that even spans to higher education, too. So, you know, it's all across the board. That's probably one of the largest themes we've heard. And obviously, that's not a new cry for help. But, you know, certainly that, I mean, there's, you know, issues. If you want to get more into the weeds, there's special education, you know, pupil transportation, early childhood education is a really big one. But I would say fundamentally, it's, you know, really just comes down to funding.
Okay, Claire, and we're going to stick a pin in that right now before we talk more about the state's budget, education issues, and the general budget. And I know that Ray Miller, the publisher of our Columbus African American News Journal, is on the phone, and I know he only has a couple of minutes. So, Ray, thank you for joining us. I was just opening talking about the South Central Minority Business Opportunity Fair that took place yesterday and their reception and awards program. There's Black Enterprise that's here in Columbus, Ohio. Why don't you give me your take on what's going on with respect to minority businesses, and then you can talk about this edition of the Columbus African American News Journal.
Okay. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
Good.
For informing the community to the extent that you do. We don't have enough people doing that. So you certainly ought to be commended for being so consistent over the years in educating and informing the public. The forum yesterday that I attended, the reception with Roland Martin as the keynote speaker, and awards being given to those who are making significant contributions to minority businesses, I went well. There's something about it, though, to me, that says you ought to. And it's always good to be celebrated and awarded, but you know how much I focus on history and how great men and women struggle their whole lives so that we would have opportunity. And so here we are today with people in position to provide opportunity to African Americans, and they ought to.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, they simply ought to. And we have individuals who don't know that. They're in position, and they really don't know why they're in the position. They don't have a historical perspective. Neither do they have an egalitarian kind of a perspective on their positions. And what I mean by that is if you had a historical frame, you would look at how white people have always taken care of their families, their friends, people that they know, people who look like them. There's a comfort level that they have, whether it's George Bush on an affirmative action program to Yale University, or whether it's, you know, XYZ corporation being provided a major loan or getting information on bid opportunities and having individuals in place who just make the road a little smoother and easier for you. We get African Americans in positions, and oftentimes they don't know that they are there to provide assistance to African Americans.
Right.
And they end up denying opportunity.
Or being the keeper of the door.
Absolutely. You know precisely what I'm saying. That's the summation of it all, is they get there to the positions and they find more reasons not to be helpful to African-American-owned businesses than they do in ensuring that they have the information. You know, if you just give people the information, the old, you know, the great philosopher from Augusta, Georgia, you know, the godfather of soul, James Brown, said, I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Just open up the door and I'll get it myself. And so if we had more people just opening up the door or just providing information as to go this way or go this way, or this bid opportunity is going to come up at this time.
Providing introductions.
This person, absolutely. You know, helping people with their loan applications the same way, the very same way that the quote-unquote majority community in America provides those kinds of opportunities. So I felt good about those who were being celebrated, the corporations as well as the African-Americans who are employed within the corporations and others. You know, no matter what your position is, whether you're head of a corporation, a nonprofit, an elected official, I think we have to stop patting ourselves on the back so much for minor gains. I mean, in the scheme of things, it's minor gains. You know, if we stand up and we start talking about fairly insignificant dollar amounts. And it sounds like a lot because, you know, maybe people aren't used to dealing with, you know, six zeros. But, you know, when you have a multi-billion dollar corporation that's fifth on the Fortune 500 list, they ought to be doing business. They ought to be supplying opportunities with minority businesses.
And if they're not doing it, as you said, well, for altruistic reasons, because it's the right thing to do, just take a look at the bottom line, look at who your customers are, look what populations are growing. Is somebody moving something because it's making noises?
I have to get out of the car.
Anyway, individuals who are in these positions, they're not doing all that they can to grow the businesses and provide the opportunities for people who are African Americans and other people of color. The businesses themselves should understand it's the right thing to do, but it's also in their best interest.
Yep. Some are, Senator. You know, as you well know, I mean, there are people like Iris Cooper who, for a lifetime, you know, as a business person helping to found Glory Foods and then working at Key Bank, and all of the things that she did to help black businesses. There are individuals like that. They really need to do the teaching. They need to do the training of the others who are simply happy to be invited periodically into the room. They're individuals, and they don't even get invited into the real rooms. And they need some training on how to get there.
Right. Well, we appreciate that you took some time to join us on the show. I know that you are on your way to another event. So thank you for joining us. I'll talk a little bit more about this edition, unless you wanted to mention something specifically about this edition of the Columbus African American News Journal. This edition was focused in on businesses. So if there's something you wanted to share, and I'll then in the closing, I'll give some more information.
Hold on for a second.
Well, we've got to keep going. So
if
you want to share some additional information on this edition, please do so now, and then we'll move on to our other guests.
Now, two corporations, and I think these two corporations make a real powerful point. MedTech Corporation out of Cleveland, major construction firm, and have a concrete business as well. The thing that I like about that corporation is they understand the value of giving back. We have so many corporations who are doing well, African-American businesses that are doing well, but they are not giving anything back comparatively to the quote-unquote majority corporation. And again, they celebrate an award to the King Arts Complex or to the Lincoln Theater or something like that, you know, on an annual basis, as opposed to really having a spirit that's embedded within the corporation of giving back to those who have provided the opportunity to them. So MedTech Corporation is like that. Dr. Washington, who's on the cover of the paper this time, Dr. William Washington, who owns the Linden Medical Center and the Medical Center on the west side of Columbus on West Broad Street, also has that same kind of attitude. He's looking at building the Linden community, providing housing, right? Ensuring that the young people are being educated properly, all of those things. And we need more businesses that have that kind of an attitude of giving back as opposed to simply enriching themselves.
Or simply just giving a contribution of $5,000 here or $10,000 there to say that you helped sponsor X, Y, and Z event. Because that is easy when you have multi-millions of dollars. It's much easier to do that than to do the heavy lifting, really help to build community and help to build the people within the community.
Right, and we've seen the examples. I mean, we know the contributions. And, you know, I'll see one of our black-owned businesses give a contribution that is 20 times the amount that they will give to an African-American organization. So it's not for want or lack of ability to contribute. It's just that screwed up mindset that that we have. Ricardo Drew Woodson said, if you can control a man's thinking, you don't have to worry about his actions. And so we have too many people whose minds have been controlled, you know, historically. I mean, all the way back to the days of slavery, and they can't break the chains.
Well, I know you're going to continue to speak on this, and I know the Columbus African American Chamber of Commerce is also going to be addressing these issues.
Yep.
I'm going to be working in this edition of the Columbus African American in my other hat as the executive director of the Multi-Ethnic Advocates for Cultural Competence. We ran into lots of problems with one of the venues and some of our small ethnic and minority businesses who we reached out to help cater our event, because we wanted small mom and pop businesses, but there are many that don't have the licenses and all of the policies in place. So we're going to be partnering with the Central Ohio Minority Business Association to do a training session so that we can get more of our small minority businesses into these venues so that they can become the preferred caterers. So that there's there's an article in the Columbus African American on that as well. So we thank you. We'll have you back on to talk more about what's going on with businesses and the chamber. I know you have to get into your event, and we're going to move on to the state senate and the budget and speaking to the finance staff as well as to Senator Turner. So thank you, Ray Miller.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now we're going to switch gears, and we're going to go back to the state budget. But we're not really switching gears, because the state budget is the most important bill that the Ohio General Assembly passes. Every 2 years, we pass a state operating budget. And that is the multi-billion dollar budget that funds all of state government. Senator Miller, former Senator Miller, was talking about the opportunities and providing opportunities for vendors and contractors and service personnel, those that have small and minority and female-owned businesses. Well, the opportunities are with state government as well, because it funds all of state government as well as those entities, your local county communities, to do different things. And so these are real opportunities for our businesses to know about. So we're going to talk with Claire and Matt about what's going on right now. Claire talked about some of the issues with the education section of the budget. Matt, I want you to talk a little bit about the general section and the Medicaid section, if you will.
Sure. Thank you, Senator, for having us on. Just to give an update, we are the budget is over in the state Senate. It has already passed the House. The governor introduces his proposal for the biennial budget in early February. So we are we're about two-thirds of the way done in the process. It has to be completed by the end of June, on June 30th. So we are currently in the amendment drafting stage, but we are coming down to about a little bit over a month to go. And really where I'll start out on, just to give an overview, Claire touched on some of the education pieces. The governor's proposal, when introduced, really revolved around three major issues, and that was education funding reform, tax reform, a very large tax package, and also Medicaid expansion. I'll start off with the tax reform piece. The governor, when he proposed the bill back in February, had a number of different very large pieces of tax reform included in it. There was a 20% personal income tax reduction for citizens in the state. They also had a large carved out over $1 billion 50% reduction for pass-through entities. Those some include small businesses, but all sorts of businesses can be set up as pass-through entities, including people such as hedge fund managers or out-of-state and investors. So this was said to be a targeted business reduction. And then there was also a large, and this was discussed in the media for a long time, a very large expanded base broadening of sales tax. There was meaning that people were going to be paying sales tax on things they had never paid on before,
like haircuts and lawn service, laundromats.
A number of things that people with not very big disposable incomes count on every day that they that are part of their routine, from whether it's turning on your TV, as you, or as you said, going to get a haircut, going to get your clothes washed at the laundromat. This base routing of the sales tax was to pay for these large income tax reductions that they were proposing. Very, you know, controversial a few months at the Senate, with almost every business organization at the State House and citizens groups talking about the detrimental impact that this possibly could have in our communities. Because the fact is, Senators, you know, people that don't have very large incomes, this amount that they're paying extra tax on these services that they need to survive, really was going to have a very negative impact and was not going to be seen in a benefit to them as income taxes. You know, as our income tax is progressive, so, you know, if you don't make that much, you're not going to get very much back in an income tax reduction. So.
And the other thing on this, Matt, you know, certainly the governor proposed this expanding of the sales tax to all of these other entities, and he sold it on, well, we're going to reduce the amount of tax from 5.5% to 5% to try and appease people so that they would believe they're paying less, but in all actuality, they'd be paying more because they would be paying it on more services.
Correct. Absolutely. And so, and as I said, we were just, you know, we were running the math, and those in the very small, you know, that make up, you know, the majority of our tax brackets, those citizens, the amount that they would see back at the end of the year not be paying in personal income tax wouldn't be enough to offset those costs and that they would be on average paying in addition to in the sales taxes. It would be things that they never paid on before.
And Matt, we're gonna come back and talk about that and other tax issues coming up next.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
I used to dread getting up and going to work.
I was done with the corporate grind.
I was tired of being a starving artist.
I started looking around for a business that I believed in, and I kind of wanted to do something a little more green.
For my kids.
My art is my passion.
My score mentor helped me take the first step.
He helped me create a business plan and helped me implement it.
Feels like you're not in it alone.
How to expand
my business.
If you get a solid foundation laid, everything else falls in place.
Their talent helps me be successful at mine.
My SCORE mentor has been tremendously helpful in the marketing of my business.
Every person I've encountered with SCORE is so incredibly passionate about what they do.
SCORE helped me to make the unimaginable possible, all for free.
For free.
I could not have done it alone.
I'm here because of SCORE.
I'm here because of SCORE.
I'm here because of SCORE.
Get your free business mentor at score.org.
This is Salif Diarra, a local health worker in a remote village in Mali, West Africa. This is Mori, a child who survived malaria because of Salif's efforts. This is Bintu, a grateful mother, one of many in Salif's village. This is you, becoming part of the story. Help local health workers like Salif make the good go even further. Visit goodgoes.org to see the many ways you can help. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Would your business survive a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds.
That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here at the GED Pep Talk Center, we've got a range of pep talkers standing by. Call 1-877-38-YOUR-GED or visit yourged.org and find free classes in your area. GED is a registered trademark of the American Council on Education. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
We've got...
Hey, can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure. What's wrong?
I'm in trouble at school because I've been reported for bullying.
Why are you bullying?
I was bullied last year and no one helped me, and I didn't tell.
But you should have told. Tabor says it's okay to tell.
Yes, but now I have to tell my parents and I don't know how.
You have the trust coin, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Will you show them the coin? They will always listen.
Yes, you are right. And then I'll also tell them I was bullied too. Thanks.
You're welcome.
This is an important message on carbon monoxide poisoning for people in hurricane-affected areas. Consumers need to be aware that portable generators, charcoal grills, and camp stoves produce carbon monoxide. At low levels, carbon monoxide can make people sick. At high levels, it can kill within minutes. Consumers should never use these products in or near your home or garage. Only operate them well away from buildings. During times of crisis, don't sacrifice safety. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
This is State Senator Charlita Tavares, and we are on State News and Views on Talktainment Radio, radio the way it should be heard. And we're talking about the state's biennial budget, and I have on the line with me, I've got Claire Likert, who is a policy analyst for the Senate Democratic Caucus, and I have Matt Howells, who is the finance director for the Senate Democratic Caucus. And we were talking about the Senate's activities around the budget and some of the policy initiatives that were proposed by the governor. And we were just getting ready to talk about some of the changes that the House made and where we think the Senate is looking to make some alterations to both the governor and the House's version. So Matt or Claire, whichever one of you want to start out.
Sure, I'll pick back up going off to the last text. Proposal that I was speaking about, so eventually was scrapped. So that what the House sent over to the Senate was a much smaller but still very substantial in cost-wise to the state, 7% reduction in income tax that's going to cost the state about $1.5 billion. That $1.5 billion income tax cut when you put it out, is only going to be about a dollar a week to your average Ohioan. Those in the top 1% would see obviously a much larger income tax reduction, somewhere closer to around the $3,000 for the top one for $3,000 for the top 1%. So this is obviously an item of concern that we've been talking about here in the Senate. This is all at the same time when we're talking about spending this money. This is all what's going on while this budget gives our local governments $200 million less than the last budget. And that's on top of about $1 billion less than the governor's the governor Kasich has given in since he's been in office. So,
and that's really huge. And you know, local governments have taken the brunt of the tax cuts and the budget cuts over the last several budgets, and they're the ones that have to provide the direct service to our constituents, our residents of our communities. So as the governor and the previous biennial budget, they continue to want to cut taxes. They continue to want to give resources to other entities. They keep taking from our local governments, and our local governments have nowhere else to go. So what do they have to do? They have to ask for either levies if they're a school system, or ask for a tax increase like the city of Columbus did several years ago. And thankfully, our citizens agreed with us. We increased our income tax by 0.5%.
Absolutely, and that's tremendous, but, you know, as you know, Senator, across the state, that is not the situation, you know, in a lot of communities. And since there's been about, my notes have about 127 school districts that you know, are receiving less money in this biennium from this plan. And so when you have local communities and you have school districts that are receiving less money, you have more of a need to have to go back to the taxpayers to ask them to please help us provide the services that you count on. And when those levies don't pass, it's very detrimental to our community. So that is one of the main arguments that is going on in the Senate, is the priorities of where, you know, we're having these very large tax receipts that are coming in. We're doing very well over estimates on a month-to-month basis.
Yeah, because we've got over several billion dollars in the contingency or rainy day fund at this point.
The governor's proposing to put on our savings account, or something, you know, or most people call it a rainy day fund, about $1.5 billion by the end of this by the end of the summer into the rainy day fund. That money is obviously important for times of need. Obviously, when the economic situation turns. But at the same time, when we have our local communities and our schools that are struggling, you know, to keep police on the street and teachers in the classroom, these are all things that are being discussed in the Senate. So as far as on the tax reform side, the big picture. You had mentioned also Medicaid expansion. That was the other large piece of the governor's budget. The governor had asked the General Assembly to go forward with expanding Medicaid to cover a number of individuals in our state that are currently uninsured, primarily those that are childless adults, those that do not qualify for Medicaid.
But in the current makeup of the program.
Yes, in the current makeup of the program. And, you know, this is just such an important thing that the state of Ohio should be doing to expand Medicaid. The House, unfortunately, removed that provision, and as it stands in the Senate, we currently do not have the expansion of Medicaid within our budget. And I know that, as well as you know, you sit on subcommittee for Medicaid. That is an ongoing discussion.
And that is, I'm going to bring in our state senator. She has joined us on the line so that she can add some comments, and then the three of you can kind of talk about some of the issues that Democrats are really going to zero in on. We've got State Senator Nina Turner, one of our regulars on TalkTainmentRadio.com out of the greater Cuyahoga County. She is the state senator for the 25th Senate District. Welcome, Senator Turner.
Thanks, Senator. Good to be here with you.
Well, I've got on the line Matt Howes, our finance director, and Claire. And Claire, I apologize. I've been saying your name wrong. It's Linkhart.
Oh, that's all right, Senator.
But we want to get it right. It's Claire Linkhart.
Yeah.
And we were discussing the budget, Senator Turner. So I want you to give some comments, specifically since you are the ranking member on the Education Subcommittee of Finance. And then the three of you will discuss some of the initiatives that Democrats want to put forth.
Well, thank you, Senator. You have two superstars in Claire and Matt, so it's wonderful to talk about this most important issue. And we really, you know, we've heard a lot of testimony. Our committee, our subcommittee, has been really hard at work. It seems like we've heard from hundreds of people. I'm not sure if it's gotten that high, but it certainly has been a lot of people from all facets of the education community, from those advocating for pre-K education, K through 12 education, making sure we take care of our gifted students, to higher education, transportation issues, the whole plethora of things that we need to deal with. And the common theme that has been threaded throughout everybody's testimony, for the most part, whether it's pre-K through 12 or higher education, is the need for our state to invest more money to make sure that our children can compete in the 21st century, no matter whether it's public, private, you know, charter or traditional public schools, and then also on the higher ed. So that has mainly been the theme, and that we are woefully inadequate in terms of what we're doing, both in pre-K through 12 and also on the higher education front. And as we look at the budget right now, it is not being restored in either venue, whether it's K through 12 or higher education, to the levels that it was when Governor Strickland was in office.
And again, you know, when you talk about cost-benefit analysis, mm-hmm. when we invest in early childhood education, we are laying the foundation for that child so then they can matriculate through their 12th year and then go on to higher education or some advanced educational opportunity. So it's the best investment we can make.
Oh, absolutely, and all of the studies show it, especially, yeah, as you said, the pre-K. And I think our subcommittee, I mean, I got to admit that Chairwoman Lehner in particular, she has really a keen eye on this pre-K education, and we are both members of the Children's Caucus, and the Children's